What does motion sound like? With Kizik Hands Free Shoes, it sounds a little something like this. Experience the magic of motion. Get a free pair of socks with your first order at kizik.com/socks.
This is the DiPietro and Rothenberg podcast. Listen live weekday mornings from 5 to 8 a.m. on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker by asking it to play 98.7 ESPN. This is DiPietro and Rothenberg.
I got to be honest. A fight would have ensued. We go to HR. They have their notepads as attorneys. And like, what happened? Well, he went skipping by, mocking me like,
it's not fair.
I deserve to be hit.
No, because I've had it.
In that moment.
That's open and shut. I would have been a key witness, I think, for Andrew.
Yes. In retrospect.
Don't scream at me on the show.
That was on me.
This is DiPietro and Rothenberg.
I will fight you after this show.
On 98.7. ESPN.
It is the big 7 o'clock hour. DiPietro and Rothenberg presented by Progressive Insurance. And all guests on the show appear via the Goodyear Hotline. Lewis Riddick, 735. Do you know who Lewis Riddick got his start with, by the way?
Lewis Riddick got his start as far as what? Playing?
What was that noise, by the way?
That was my chair, I told you.
All right.
This thing's got, I got a WD-40, this thing or something.
I mean, that was loud.
Oh, it's so comfortable.
Sounded
though.
Very gaseous.
No, I'll listen. I would tell you.
I know you
had Fartgate.
Yep. No, I
gotta fix this chair though. During the breaks, I lean back, and then as soon as you say something to me, I get up.
They had 35 runs, 33 passes.
No way, it wasn't that.
It had to be a fart.
Every time I hear that, I'm more convinced, in fact, that there was a gaseous moment.
What else could it be?
It could be the chair. You just had the chair make that noise.
No, that doesn't sound like a chair. I mean, that's. No, that sounded like it was in. Like,
well, he had like faintly the pause, and then he had the, oh, excuse me.
Like, they had like a moment of 35 runs, 31, 35 runs, 33 passes.
Unless he was saying excuse me to the missed stat, and it just happened to coincide with the exact moment of the moving in the chair.
Yeah, but it sounded like it was directly into the microphone, though.
Yeah, but maybe it was too loud, in fact.
Can a fart be too loud, though?
Well, how can you... I mean, if you pass gas, can it really make that loud of a... Like, that loud?
See, I don't know. I try to avoid... I try to avoid farting on the air is what I try to do.
It sounded like his rear was directly on the microphone.
Like on the microphone.
Which it can't be, because he was talking into the microphone. Unless he's a contortionist. And then it all makes sense.
Well, unless that secretly he's... He's the Mr. Methane from the Howard Stern Show.
Yes, he's got his, like a gymnast, he's got his legs over and he's talking and his bottom is right there too. But I don't see that for Mike Tenenbaum, to be honest.
No, I don't see that at all.
I don't see that. I don't know. Anyway,
so what are you asking me? The question is, where did he get started as far as team that he played for?
No, as far as his like on-air career.
And don't say he got started with you.
Yeah, he did.
So you got... Okay, let's get this straight.
I don't actually know if it was the first ever shows that he did. But when Stephen A. was doing the Sirius show from 1 to 3 every day, I was probably the number one fill-in. And one day, I think it was for 3 or 4 days in a row, Lewis Riddick and I, years ago, before he was Lewis Riddick, did the show together.
So when you ask him, like if I asked him that question, will he remember that or no?
Ask him, I don't know. I mean, he's a big deal now, so he might not.
No, he's a huge deal, right? He should be your GM right now.
Oh, God. You think if we ask him, he wouldn't say he would take the job, right?
No, I think it was pretty clear, though, at the time that he really wanted that job. Now he's got Monday Night Football. I mean, here's the thing, though. If you're Lewis Riddick, and I love listening to Lewis Riddick. He's a really, really smart guy.
Very smart.
I mean, is that what you want to do? Like, you could... I know that's always something I'm sure.
Yeah, but you know what?
Doing,
you know this. Your competitive juices are always flowing, and you hear this all the time from guys. As great as being a broadcaster is, being involved in wins and losses on the field is just different, and that's what he would be if he was a GM.
No, I know, but it's Monday Night Football, Dave.
I get it,
and it's just that there's.
Can we ask him that, or does that cross some kind of a line?
It doesn't. They don't have the same patience. You know what I mean? There's no patience.
But he can always go back to being a broadcaster.
He's not going to go back to Monday Night Football.
Probably not. But he would go back to being an elite broadcaster again.
Yeah, that's fine. But there are certain jobs that you say to yourself, well, if I got this job, I mean, maybe I stick with it. You know what I mean? Like, if I had as much as I would, like, say, for example, I'm like, you know what? After a couple of years, I want to be, you know, I want to focus all my attention on trying to become a coach. And then all of a sudden, I got the coaching job at BU, for example. As much as I would have, you know, liked to at some point scratch the itch of being an NHL coach, am I going to leave BU?
Yeah, but you're still scratching the itch. If he has the itch to compete and to try to build a team and to try to win at the NFL level, and the Giants come calling, like if Gettleman loses his job and the Giants come calling, if that's what you've wanted to do, can you say no?
I would say he probably doesn't say no, but that would be a tough decision to make.
Can we ask him that, or is that just uncomfortable?
No, I think you could ask him. I don't think you need to say Giants. I would ask the question. I would frame the question as, you know, you're in the booth
you ask
football.
It.
It doesn't get better than that.
You ask it. I'm scared.
Well, but no, but he's still interviewing. So the, I mean, the answer is definitely yes. I mean, he's still interviewed during the offseason for Judge.
I would love it if the I don't know his relationship with Judge, and God knows if Judge will even be here if the season is. You know, tragic, but I would love it if Lewis Riddick was the GM. I would love it if the Giants went outside the box and hired like a real, like a football.
They don't do
real
that,
GM. I know it's always guys we're comfortable with and know, but you got to get away from that at some point.
Yeah, but here's the other thing though, too. You got to take into account is at some point there has to be stability. You can't keep going through this 2 years and we're all of a sudden have a new coach and everything else. You can't.
If it keeps failing, you can. No.
No, when you have these meetings with GMs, right, most of the time the GMs will give you, you know, we have a five-year plan. Now, 5 years is a long time. I get it, especially if things aren't going well. But you have to give whoever it is some time to try, at least try to make it work.
I get especially that. And the only way I would possibly see Joe Judge losing his job is if it's just like a disaster.
No, he's not going to lose his job. I mean, he's got more power now than he's ever had.
But if the Giants go like 4-13, don't you think everybody should be concerned about that?
If the Giants go 4-13, the first person that's going to be blamed is Dave Gettleman.
Gettleman and Jones will be gone. I don't have a doubt of that. Is there something that could happen this year that you would say, you know what? I'm interested to see what happens to Joe Judge. Or is he safe no matter what in your mind?
I think he's safe no matter what. I think if they lose tonight, we'll get a lot of phone calls from Giants fans about Joe Judge.
I think here's the thing. A win against Denver and a competitive loss tonight, or vice versa, regardless, I think you'd be fine. It's the fact that you were non-competitive against Denver, and now you're going on the road for a game you really need to win. And I'm sorry, I can't have, well, you know, Daniel Jones played pretty well tomorrow morning. There is nothing. Here's what I need. I need Jones to play well. I need the defense to play well, and I need the Giants to win. I need all of it. Because if they win and the defense dominates and they're phenomenal, that's great. But if I go through the game and I get another subpar game from Daniel Jones, I'm not okay with that.
I completely disagree with you. A win's a win at this point.
A win is a win, and it would be a different level of frustration. But if he's bad again, how are you okay with that? He's got to start producing.
I'm not saying I'm okay with it. I'm not saying I'm okay with it, but what I'm staring at, you know, potentially having my season completely derailed if we lose, I don't care how we win. I don't.
You're right. I completely agree with you. My point is, I need all of it tonight. I need good Jones, and I need the Giants to win. Those are the two things I need. Now, I need the Giants to win way more than I need good Daniel Jones, but Rick, at some point, he's going to have to step up and show you that he's a good NFL quarterback.
Yeah, but I mean, with football too, though, doesn't it all go hand in hand anyway? I mean, wasn't that the, as ugly as that week one loss was, wasn't it? I mean, each one directly affects the other. Like the fact that, you know, Saquon Barkley was a non-factor. They couldn't run the football. The fact that, you know, the defense couldn't get off the field on third down. The fumble. Like, it all works in concert to end up with what you got in week one. Like, why is the defense on the field so long?
Right.
Well, they couldn't get off the field on third down or fourth down. And when the Giants get the ball, they can't really run it. So they're one-dimensional. They're bad in the red zone. Oh, by the way, Daniel Jones has another fumble.
It looks like they're playing a different game than every other team to me.
Well, it looks like they're playing the same game that they played last year that frustrated
and the year before, and the year before, and it was Eli's fault, and it was the offensive line's fault, and it's the there's no running game, and it's just it's the same thing year after year after year. It's got to change.
But Dave, but at least the year before that, there was excitement because Daniel Jones stepped in and actually
In his first year, yes. When he had the Tampa game. But that, I mean, that's a long time ago now when he had really productive games.
Okay.
That Washington game at the end of the year.
All right, so think about this for a second. So Daniel Jones in that first year, and there was, I mean, pressure. People feel like he's overdrafted with a sixth overall pick. He's replacing a legend and everything else. 13 games, he goes 24 touchdowns, 12 interceptions. Okay, and we started to see, you know, there's a bit of a turnover problem, whatever else. He follows it up with 11 touchdowns and 10 interceptions.
It's amazing.
Like, you know how
difficult
backwards.
Do you know how difficult it is to be a quarterback in this league and go like 1-for-1 quarterbacks and interceptions? It's not easy to do.
No, it's not easy to do. And the fact of the matter is, what you saw in week, like, here's the problem. Your biggest fears going into the season reared their ugly head in week one.
Yes.
On top of the fact that now the one thing you felt pretty good about wasn't good. Your defense wasn't good either.
No. And Bradbury, the one guy on the defense that you felt, you know, Williams, Martinez, Bradbury. Bradbury was bad in that game.
Yeah, he wasn't good. The defense wasn't good, period.
Not at all. They got very little pressure. They didn't tackle well.
Well, and when they did get pressure, they didn't get home. I mean, you know what I mean? Like, they let Teddy Bridgewater make, that's the best I've seen Teddy Bridgewater play. They let him make a bunch of different plays.
You made
plays.
Him look great. Let's be honest. You made a mediocre quarterback look great.
And it could have been worse.
It should have been worse. Hamler drops that touchdown, which is, I mean, a lock for a touchdown. They fumble away at the 4-yard line. Like, you got hammered, and you could have been hammered considerably worse than, in fact, you were.
Exactly right.
All right, tonight's a big one, my friend. Music and lyrics, sweet and salty, roasted nuts and creamy nut butter, Rick. Nature Valley and the outdoors. Some things are just made for each other. Get two great tastes in one duly delicious bar with Nature Valley sweet and salty nut bars. It is now time for a frenzy. 1-800-919-3776. I mean, we are now to week two. We're not going to be the show, by the way, that every week, I can't believe we're already in week two. I can't believe we're already in week five, right? We're going to not do that?
No, we can't. It's too early to do that.
It's awful.
I'm standing by the fact, though, that we need, the Super Bowl needs to be moved. I'm going to die on that hill.
President's Weekend?
It has to.
They're going to get that soon.
No, but I mean, just the whole preseason stuff, too. I mean, just get rid of it. No one cares about it. They want to do the inter-squad scrimmages. Let them do that, and let's play 18 games.
Yeah, I don't need eliminate preseason or one preseason game, 18 regular season games, Super Bowl on President's Day weekend, and away we go.
Thanks for listening to the DPetro and Rothenberg podcast.
And welcome aboard.
Catch the show on demand wherever and whenever you want. Just subscribe to us, rate us, and review us wherever you get your podcasts. It's time for a frenzy. A football frenzy.
You could say that 10,000 times and it still wouldn't be enough.
It fires me up, man.
I love
it.
Say it one more time.
A football frenzy. Any team, any player, any question.
Oh, and away we go. Away we go. DPetro and Rothenberg presented by Progressive Insurance. I'm going to ask you, and I know you're going to verbally scold me. Are you ready for the frenzy?
I can't wait for the frenzy.
Let's go. Let's not waste any time. Lewis Riddick, 735 this morning. 1-800-919-3776. Rapid fire, but get right to it. Don't start with salutations. Big fan, Rick, I was a huge fan of you when you played for the Islanders. Nobody wants to hear it. Right to your question. Eric Chicago, frenzy, go.
Why was Adam Gase considered a worse coach than Todd Bowles?
Because they were worse. They were awful.
Because they were awful.
They were not even like a professional team under Adam Gase.
At least the players liked Todd Bowles.
And they won some games under Todd Bowles. They were brutal under Adam Gase. Lou in North Carolina. Good morning, Lou. You're on the frenzy.
Assuming the Giants have a top five pick or moving to the top five next year, what college quarterback should we be looking at?
There's a bunch. The kid from Cincinnati, I guess, is rising up the ranks now. Rattler, I don't even remember the kid's name from Liberty. Rick is supposed to be good. Spencer Rattler. There's a bunch.
Howell from North Carolina.
Right. So
see, I don't know. Here's the thing, though. I don't necessarily know if that's the direction that the Giants will end up going.
Well, if they're bad, they'll have a new GM. And you got to allow the new GM to decide what he wants to do with the quarterback, right?
Yes, but you also have a team where you're spending a bunch of money, and it feels like you could be closer to winning. So maybe you explore the whole veteran quarterback situation.
If you tell me that Russell Wilson is somehow available, or Deshaun Watson, and he's cleared of these charges, I would be fine making that decision to go there. Absolutely. I would, if I had a top five pick and Chicago's pick is top 10, I would trade both of those picks for Deshaun Watson. If you're Houston, how could you say no to the 5 and 10 pick for Watson?
Well, I don't think you can.
Right?
No.
All right. Well, there you go. Greg in Fairhaven. Good morning, Greg. You're on the Frenzy.
How much trouble are the Packers in?
It didn't look good in week one. I mean, that was embarrassing in week one. I don't think they have a great division. I don't think they're in tons of trouble.
I don't think they're in any trouble.
No.
If they lose to the Lions on Monday night, call me back on Tuesday and ask me about that. And then it'd be a lot. But they're not in trouble yet.
I said before the season started, though, not having Bakhtiari, I mean, that offensive line is not what it normally is.
New Orleans is a good team, too.
Oh, yeah. I mean, New Orleans is a good team. I think everyone just assumed with Jameis Winston, from what they've seen, that they would take a step back. But I mean, we'll ask Lewis Riddick. Jameis Winston looked good. He looked really good.
He looked phenomenal. He looked amazing. Let's go to Jeff in Babylon. Jeff, you're on the Frenzy.
What surprised you guys the most in week one?
You go first. I have a bunch.
I mean, there's so many things that surprised me in week
one.
Go ahead,
pick one.
Oh, man. I think Tennessee losing the way that Tennessee lost surprised me.
Now, is it more Tennessee losing or is it more Arizona and how great they looked?
I think it was a combination of the both.
Yeah. Yeah. I'll say the Saints. I didn't expect the Saints to win that game by 35 points. I mean, they destroyed Green Bay. Moving right along, Anthony in Freehold. Anthony, you're on the Frenzy.
Do you agree or disagree? Dak will win the MVP this year and Dak will knock off Tom Brady in the playoffs.
Disagree.
Come on, stop it. What is the matter with you? He's gotten into Don Stash, that guy. What's the matter with
you? It was a Santiago relative right there.
Yeah. Cousin Anthony, TJ in the Bronx. How about it, TJ?
How bad is the loss of Mekhi Becton, and how you doing?
Oh, you know what? I like that. He found a loophole in the system here. Now, what we could do is not answer it because he said, how you doing? I'll leave that up to you.
No, we'll answer it. It's a huge loss. It's a humongous loss. Zach Wilson got hit a lot in that first game. A lot. And we can't have that. That can't continue to happen.
Of course it's a huge loss. He's a franchise left tackle, and he's going to be out for a considerable amount of time. It's a monster loss for the Jets. I'm finally going to get it right. Corey in Greenwich. Corey, you're on the Frenzy.
Yeah! Good job.
Thank you.
If the Giants and Jones don't work out, instead of a rookie quarterback, could they be in the Watson, Rodgers, Matt Ryan, or Jimmy G?
Let's go through it here, Rick, quickly. I love Rodgers. Do I really want to bring in a 39-year-old quarterback, though?
Probably not.
I don't want Matt Ryan.
How much longer he wants to play? I mean, that's...
Yeah, but let's see what the year turns into for him. If he's phenomenal this season, then maybe. But let's just wait and see. I do not want Matt Ryan. Russell Wilson, I would love.
The two options that would excite you would be
Wilson and Watson.
Russell Wilson, and I don't think, and you can correct me if I'm wrong, you're the Giants fan. As much as you like Deshaun Watson, I can't imagine that the Giants would trade for Deshaun Watson.
I think they need to see how it went. You're right. If things are still pending or if there's things that have been found that he's guilty of, then I don't think the Giants would involve themselves there. Your favorite, Sal and Dutchess. Sal, you're on the Frenzy.
If you guys had to pick a winner in tonight's game, who would you pick?
I'd like to wait to the end of the show to do that.
No, I mean, history would tell you. I mean, just go. History would tell you Daniel Jones' success against Washington that the Giants would win the game.
I'd like to still wait till later in the show to make my final prediction on the game. And let's close it out with Robert in Florida. Rob, you're on the Frenzy, my friend.
As bad as the offensive line has been for the Giants, do you think Jason Garrett could get Saquon the ball a little more, maybe on some screens or in the open field?
Yeah, if there's a God in heaven, he will. I mean, the guy's a great pass catcher, and they don't use him in that realm at all. I hope so. Do I think so? I'm uncertain.
It's the combination of the both that frustrates the hell out of me, though. I know he was on a pitch count in the first game in week one, and he's supposed to play tonight. But his running style and how they use him would frustrate me as a Giants fan.
Yeah, they don't put him in the best position to succeed. All right, Santy, blow this one dead. That was a good frenzy.
Thanks for listening to the DPetro and Rothenberg podcast.
I'll give it to you whenever you want it.
Looking for more access to the show? Follow us on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook at DR on ESPN.
One of my favorite people ever in sports is going to be on KJM at 9:30 this morning.
Oh, Bill Parcells is on right now.
Bill Parcells would be the answer. Bill Parcells would be on at 9:30 this morning.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
He's going to be on twice today.
I was just listening to him. Little critical.
Not the Jets locker room.
You're not going in there.
He would go into the Jets locker room.
He hates the Jets.
Oh, my God.
Hates the Jets.
I was just talking to Santiago about it at the break, though. Think about what Parcells did. He took over a Giants team that was, well, they were actually getting better, and they had Lawrence Taylor and Sims, and they had actually made the playoffs in 81 under Ray Perkins, but they had gone a long time being the laughingstock of the league. His first year, they were bad, and then they were great from there on. So he completely changed what the Giants were. Goes to the Patriots and leads this laughingstock franchise to the Super Bowl, Rick. Goes to the Jets, who were 1-15, and leads them to a lead at halftime in the AFC Championship game. And then goes to the Cowboys, who had been putrid. And by the time he's done, they are probably, if not the most, a top three most talented team in the NFL. This is, I mean, you could argue he's the greatest coach in the history of the game.
You can argue it. I don't know if it's the truth. I think Belichick's probably the number one.
Belichick is phenomenal, but Belichick has not taken four different franchises and changed them from being the laughingstock to being great.
No, he hasn't, but there's something to be said about having that kind of longevity, especially coaching the way that Belichick coaches. There's a science to that, man.
They think you can just dial 1-800 and get a quarterback. He said, well, you got to get a quarterback. No.
Playing for Parcells, playing for coaches like that is not the easiest thing to do. But when you play for a coach like that, I mean, you don't even realize it in the moment because you're probably too busy MFing him the whole time because he's so hard on you, how much better you get.
Oh, I've heard the stories about he and Phil Sims. He used to go after Sims.
Well, I guess, I mean, didn't Phil, doesn't he say all the time that he thought his first name, he didn't even,
yep,
he thought his, he first, thought his name first name was the
curse word. Yep.
Yeah.
And then I guess the one time Lawrence Taylor, he's always used to compare because the Saints had those great linebackers like Ricky Jackson and Vaughn Mills and Vaughn, maybe, oh God, was it? I don't even remember now. Sam Mills, Ricky Jackson, was it Vaughn something? They had four really, really good, great linebackers. Ricky Jackson was excellent. And he always used to hammer Lawrence Taylor and be like, oh, yeah, Ricky Jackson, Ricky Jackson, Ricky Jackson. Finally, one day, LT turns around to him and he's like, then you should have bleeping drafted Ricky Jackson or trade me for Ricky Jackson. Like, he would just needle guys. Needle them.
But that's the beauty of someone like Bill Parcells is, you know, he knows exactly how to get the best out of each one of his players. And there's all those stories about him. Like, I remember hearing a story about him where he was, I mean, and we've been to Giants practices and Jets practices, and I mean, just how many guys there are and there's different position groups and everything else. But, like, you know, Bill Parcells would be having a conversation with somebody and they'd be, you know, you name the position group doing something, you know, on one of the other fields. And as he's having the conversation, he can see what's going on and he's like making corrections as he's having a conversation. Like, he has his hands in everything. He knows exactly what's going on. And to do what he does, I mean, that's the same thing kind of like Lou Lamoriello's doing with the Islanders.
Yep.
That's the kind of personality you have to have.
Yep. And you want to hear something wild? Guess how old Bill Parcells is.
Bill Parcells is...
Take a guess.
70... No, he's probably older than that. 82.
He's 80.
80 years old.
80 years old.
He still sounds good. I listened to him a little bit during the break.
He's wonderful. And you can hear him this morning on KJM at 9:30. We wait on Lewis Riddick. Let's continue the Giants conversation. We can line up some calls. 1-800-919-3776. You know what's terrifying and I guess somewhat exciting, but really more terrifying for me? We talked about the Giants for months. March and April and the draft and this and free agency, and you get Galladay and Engram comes back and the weapons, and just you could go from Sunday to Thursday and really think that the season, even if you're like Kay, who thinks that I'm premature in my statement that the season is done, you're in a heap of trouble if you start at 0-2. In a 5-game span, you could go from, you know what, I'm excited and things are great, to this is an absolute disaster right now.
Yeah, I mean, the reason why Kay would say something like that, I mean, I get what he's saying. I get what both of you were saying. It's just the nature of the game, right? Like, you never know. Like, going into this game, you're going up against Taylor Heinicke because Fitzpatrick's hips popped out.
Right.
I mean, the Saints right now are dealing with a bunch of, a bunch of COVID cases.
Is there a huge difference in your mind between Fitzpatrick and Heinicke? Like, is Fitzpatrick clearly a better quarterback, or am I, like, because I think Heinicke's pretty good. Like, I don't think he's great, but I don't think he's much less than Fitzpatrick.
I don't think there's a huge drop off from Fitzpatrick to Heinicke. Maybe it's because we both went to Harvard. Fitzpatrick.
You didn't go to Harvard.
Well, I got accepted. I mean, same thing. Ipso facto, I went to Harvard. No, I don't think it's a huge. I trust Fitzpatrick more than I trust Taylor Heinicke. Just because I've seen more of Ryan Fitzpatrick, but no, I mean it's. I mean, you thought that Teddy Bridgewater, and again, I give him tons of credit, that knee injury, he came back, and what he did in week one. Heinicke can move around well.
Yeah, he's a mobile guy, and they have
weapons,
mobile, and they have a good running back, and they have a tight end that's dangerous, and you know the Giants don't defend the tight end well, and Terry McLaurin is a legitimate number one receiver. You know what I need tonight? I need Bradberry to lock down Terry McLaurin. That is what I need tonight.
Yeah, your defense needs to show up. I mean, if I was on that defense, I would be upset with how week one went. I'd be a little embarrassed, but I could say the same thing about the Washington football team. They're supposed to have one of the best defenses in football. And I'll ask you. I mean, I know you probably know because you watch all these games and everything else. What were the charges on third down against the vaunted Washington football team's defense?
Yeah, I don't know. I'll guess that it was good, though. I'm going to say they were 6 of 14.
They were 14 and 19 on third down.
14 of 19?
14 of 19 on third down.
Oh, my God.
They had 424 total yards, and they had the football for 36 minutes.
And they barely won.
36 minutes against that Washington defense.
Wow. Yeah, in watching that game, because I did watch a good bit of it, you didn't see Washington get home to Justin Herbert very often.
No, that offensive, I mean, they give him credit, especially Rashawn Slater.
What an amazing thing. Think about it, right? Now, it's one game in, but they went from offensive line last year, which was dreadful, to a completely revamping of the offensive line, which looks pretty good right now, doesn't it?
Yeah, it looks really good. Yeah. But I also think that has something to do with the fact that Justin Herbert's really good.
I agree with you. He's going to be great. There will be a day where you can say to me he's a top five quarterback in the league, and we will not argue about it.
Like, don't you think, though? I mean, we both watch enough football that there are certain occasions where a good quarterback can make a very average line look good.
Of course.
And a bad quarterback make an average line look really bad.
Well, think about this. Think about it. Last year, their offensive line was awful, and you knew that he was going to be great. Joe Burrow last year, their offensive line was awful, and you knew that he was going to be great. Of course. 100%.
So that's why I always have a hard time with the whole Giants conversation about offensive line.
Yeah,
it's not good, but how much of that is, your quarterback maybe not great, your offense coordinator's not great, you're one-dimensional, you can't really run the football. I mean, that was Bill Parcells I was listening to, I think I told you, but you can hear him at 9:30 on KJM. But, his biggest thing with the Giants is they're too one-dimensional. They can't run the football.
Yeah, which is so painful because the Giants were always able
to run
the football.
Well, how can you can't run the football, yet you use the second overall pick on a running back?
It's frustrating. We're going to do the pigskin payout in just a moment. Let's go to Ryan in Bergen. Ryan, you're next up on 98.7.
Hey guys, good morning. Thanks for having me. First time, long time. Rick, you're a national treasure. Just got to let you know that. Dave, you're great.
Thank you.
I don't think that I don't think that Michael – I don't think that you're wrong at all, Dave. I think Michael Kay is absolutely out of his mind. If they don't win this game on Thursday, the season's over.
Tonight.
And I hate to say it. Tonight. I haven't had my coffee yet. But, hey, I mean, look, if they don't look – hey, but it is the Jets' dysfunction. It feels like the Jets. And
they've turned themselves into the Jets, yeah. The Giants, I know Giants fans hold themselves in this like this high regard. You're on the same exact trajectory as the Jets right now.
Yeah. I mean, you could argue it's worse than the Jets at the moment. Because at least you look at the Jets and you say, we don't know, but you look at the Jets and you say, we have our quarterback, right? Like you believe the Giants look at the quarterback and the Giants fans and it's like, I don't know. Who knows?
No, but you're missing my point. You're right because we pressed the reset button. Everyone hated the coach, fired him. We all feel like Saleh was the guy, and you got your quarterback. What I mean by that on the same trajectory is you're where the Jets were last year.
Yes. In the prove-it year for the quarterback?
Exactly right.
Yeah. But the Giants, I think, have done more to help the quarterback in that you have weapons.
Yes.
Sam Darnold didn't have any weapons last year.
Yeah, that right there, what you just said, is probably what would be most disappointing for me if this season goes sideways for the Giants, is that there was real optimism with the additions that you guys made during the offseason that this could be a team that could compete. Like, I heard a bunch of different people on TV, radio, picking the Giants to win the division.
And maybe it changes tonight. Maybe they go out there, play a good football game, and we feel completely different tomorrow. Like, it's not out of the realm of possibility. Cowboys have a ton of injuries. They're 0-1. They could easily be 0-2. Right, Philadelphia played a great game, but against a team that you're not in love with, we'll see what they do this weekend. And if the Giants beat Washington, Washington's 0-2, and they have Buffalo, and they have a tough schedule coming up. So it's not crazy to think that it changes tonight, but it needs to change tonight. Time now for 98.7 ESPN's Pigskin Payout. We've qualified listeners all week for a chance to win $1,000. And now we've chosen our winner, Al DeChiani. DeChiani?
Yeah.
From Toms River, New Jersey, is this week's winner. He's going to pick the Big Blue game. Al will have to pick the G-Men to cover the spread against Washington for $250 or to win outright to win $1,000, all from your home for football, 98.7 ESPN. All right, Al, congratulations and welcome to DPH and Rothenberg.
Good morning. How are you? Good.
We're doing well. All right, a lot of pressure on you. The spread is 3.5. You could take the Giants plus the 3.5 for 250. You could take the Giants to win outright for 1,000.
Okay, I'm going to say the Giants win outright for 1,000.
Yeah, so we have the smartest listeners and callers going. Good luck, Al. Great luck. I hope he wins. I've never wanted someone to win a contest more than I do Al right now.
You would give him 1,000 out of your own pocket if the Giants won.
I don't think I would.
If I said to you right now,
mm-hmm.
Dave,
I think my if this was single Dave and my money is my money and I don't share it, yes. I do you understand the ramifications if I would take out $1,000 and Sherry says, where did the money go? And I said to Al.
Yeah, why? She knows. She already knows you're deranged. She told me. We sat for an hour and a half talking about how crazy you are.
She used the words he's deranged?
Yeah, she's like, well, there's essentially.
Deranged.
Deranged was, yeah.
As you're sitting there stirring the pot at the Santillo wedding. I mean, stir. How could you be okay with this? She said you were trying to incite her.
I was.
And she wouldn't take the bait.
No, she didn't. I give her tons of credit. And I was trying to get her drinks, loosen her up. Come on. Yeah, this is too much. It's been an hour. Like, you can't stand for this. She would not. She would not take the bait.
She wouldn't budge, right?
Mm-mm, nope.
So loyal.
She wouldn't budge. I give her, listen, dude. You don't screw this up. And I know you won't. Like, we all feel like there should be, that one person that we find. You have your person.
Like, you can't believe that I've done this.
No. I mean, the cliche, like, you all kicked your coverage. There would be a picture of Dave and Sherry Rothenberg.
It's like I kicked off at Mile High Stadium. Like it went through the end zone, through the uprights, and the guy in the third row was like, whoa, I can't believe the ball made it here. Like, that's what happened.
That's exactly what happened.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. Let's go to Danny, Long Island. Good morning, Dan. You're on 98.7 ESPN.
And I think your wife's parents probably think it was an onside kick. No, just kidding. Listen, first
thanks
of all...
thanks very much.
Peter.
Yeah, go ahead.
And to think I thought of that line in about 2 seconds. Peter Rosenberg, very troubling. That disturbed me my entire ride to work this morning. Dave, a public service announcement. I speak for all the fans of the show. Please relax, because you're not going to survive it, because they're not going to win tonight. I'm rooting for the Giants. I never root against the home teams. I know I'm a Steeler fan. Even though the Steelers put three rookie offensive linemen on a field.
Stop it. What are you doing to me? Why?
Please just turn DVR the game. This is what I do sometimes.
DVR? Are you sadistic? DVR the game?
Yes. Because if they lose, you won't even be able to go to sleep. And how are you performing your job today? You have children. You keep yourself healthy. You're much too emotionally involved in this. You have to.
I love
them. Cut the
Danny,
cord.
Let me ask you this, though. When am I going to watch this DVR game? I have to be able to talk about it at
if
5 o'clock
lose,
in the morning.
If they lose, you never even turn it on. If they lose, you never even turn it on. How about that?
I should make for great content in the morning.
Rick's yeah,
like,
right.
What do you think about
it.
This? I don't know. I got on the DVR. I'll let you know after
well,
I watch
I,
it.
I said that, I mean, there's a couple key things you could probably just touch on for most Giants losses.
I could just be generic. Boy, I can't believe the turnovers for Jones. So disappointing.
God, we couldn't run the ball again.
Oh, Saquon turnover. Just didn't. Just, you know, 11 carries, 27 yards. That stinks.
I'll be interested to see what he looks like tonight. He wasn't inspiring much confidence when they asked him how his
no.
knee was.
No.
I don't know. We'll find out.
Yeah.
Because that's the game you want to find out. A Washington defense that got kind of embarrassed in week one.
Yeah, and remember, for all the conversation we have here on this show about the Giants and the importance, if you listen to Sports Talk in D.C., I'm sure it's the same conversation. If we can't beat the Giants and now we go to Buffalo, our season's going to be on the verge of being done.
Well, they had real hopes.
Well, everyone thought they were going to be a terrific
yeah.
team.
I mean, Greeny was ride and die with Washington. They were his team.
All right, so right now, September, what's today's date? The 16th. Who wins this division?
I would have to say, oh, God, with the injuries now.
You know DeMarcus Lawrence got hurt, right?
Yeah, 6 to 8 weeks to the foot.
Lyle Collins is suspended. You knew that?
Yeah, I know that too. That's okay. Not great. I got to see more from the Eagles before I all of a sudden trust the Eagles. I would still say this is a quarterback-driven league, so I would still probably lean Cowboys. You got to go with the best quarterback,
don't you? I think I agree with you.
Like, I don't trust... Listen, as good as the Eagles were, it could be that the Falcons just plain old stink. Jalen Hurts looked pretty good. I don't fully buy into them yet. Washington with no Fitzpatrick. We'll see what Taylor Heinicke can do. See if that defense steps it up tonight, but... I would still probably lean Dak because Dak looked awesome.
He looked awesome. And again, no Lawrence is a tremendous loss, but and is Randy Gregory out too? Is that what I saw?
But let's face it, though. I mean, that team was just hoping to have a mediocre defense.
Right. But here's the thing that you're excited about with their defense. They turned over Tampa Bay in week one. So if they can allow yards, but they can turn you over, they'd probably sign for that right now. But, I mean, Cooper looked so good, and Elliott's going to get better. And their
CeeDee
offensive
Lamb
line,
looked good.
He looked great. Now, Gallup's going to be out
though,
for
right?
an extended period of time.
I mean, we've already seen that before. Defense doesn't have to be great, but as long as it's opportunistic.
Yeah, just be
and
mediocre.
And you're giving your offense more and more possessions. That's what
All
you
right,
want.
All right, it's time. I said we do it. We're going to do it. Make your prediction. I'll make mine. You make your prediction on the Giants game tonight. You want me to go first?
Yeah, you go first.
The Giants are going to win this game tonight. All right? I have to believe the Giants are going to win this game. I'm going to give you a score. 24-20. Giants go into Washington. We make Al a wealthy man. He wins $1,000, and the Giants win 24-20. You get two touchdowns from Daniel Jones. Barkley will rush for not great, like 65 to 75 yards, and the Giants go into the nation's capital for the country to see and beat Washington. I believe that happens.
See, I'm torn here because for the good of the show, I need the Giants to win. Not just for you, but for Giants fans. I want them engaged. I don't want their season to be over after week two. But I have to imagine that Washington defense was disgusted with how week one went. I'm going to go Washington football team 21, Giants 17.
Oh, God. That's not good. Not what anybody wants to hear. KJM, by the way, just a couple of moments away, and there are a lot of Giants often during the show. So you got to stay tuned for that. And, of course, Bill Parcells at 9:30 this morning. All right, Santy, let's see what you got.
Today's three stars.
All right, so in spite of you just being a terrible, terrible person all show, I'm going to start with...
Number three.
The two of you guys actually had an interesting conversation about the painted tickets. I do appreciate... I'm actually kind of in the same boat as you, where I appreciate keeping them as mementos. The hoarding thing, I can almost relate to, Rick, so don't feel too bad about
it. You spend money on it. Why throw it away?
You spend money on it. You don't want to throw it away. You keep it in a drawer, and next thing you know, you've got these drawers just stuffed full of everything. So I can relate to it. See? Not so much the trading cards things, but I can definitely relate to the keeping the tickets.
Number two.
Oh, good guy, Rick DiPietro, because not only did he do RJ's wedding, not only did he give a sizable gift that made everyone else pale in comparison, but then you come to find out that he refuses RJ's gift that he wanted to give him for handling the wedding. So you find out nice things about
I don't know if that's a great quality, though. Someone wants to give you a gift and now you ghost him?
I told him initially, don't get me anything, and he refused.
Which is nice, but now he's gotten, and now you should enjoy the fruits of your labor.
He's a generous man who doesn't need anything from anybody, and I appreciate that quality.
Thank you, Rick.
Number one.
Number one, and I'm giving it in advance to Dave Rothenberg's poor family who's going to have to deal with him during the game tonight. Now, again, my pick doesn't really matter as much as your guys, but I've said all along, the Giants kind of own Washington. Washington's down a quarterback. They're going to win this game. It might be like a 9-7 final, but I do think the Giants are going to win. So.
And that's what we need. And just give me a win. We'll see you at 5 o'clock in the morning. It's Rule 76.
No excuses, playing a champion. It's DiPietro, Rothenberg, and
the New York Football Giants.
On 98.7 ESPN.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro and Rothenberg podcast. Listen live weekday mornings from 5 to 8 a.m. on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker by asking it to play 98.7 ESPN.